Technorama episode 602, Comet Me Bro. What kind of title is that?
It's a good one. Oh, we played the long one.
Yes, the extended remix.
Yeah.
The 12-inch single.
I was going to say the 12-inch single. That's right.
The 12-inch single is the one that has all the talking on it. Welcome to Technorama. This is the podcast that really kind of starts over every time we start over. We take a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. My name is Chuck Tomasi. Thank you very much for joining us. If you're just joining us for the first time, if you have been here before, thank you for returning. We appreciate it very much. And just across that virtual divide we call the internet is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Still kind of stuck in the house, hanging out.
And glad of it. I mean, I know states are starting to reopen, but I'm not rushing to the beach like a lot of the people are this weekend. It's just not going to happen.
You don't have a beach.
I'd have to rush really fast at this point.
I was going to say.
The nearest one, I think, is Cabo San Lucas. State over. No, Rock Point. What is it? Rocky Point. There's one in the Sea of Cortez that comes right up to the base of California, Arizona.
Okay. I was going to say, you got to go to another state probably. Okay. Well, that makes
pretty
sense.
Pretty much it's where the Colorado dumps into the Sea of Cortez. But that is our story. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Staying healthy, staying safe, enjoying the family, good food. Why not? Doing podcasts, singing karaoke. This is just a whole bunch of fun. Well, I don't want to leave. This is paradise for me. I used to pay to come on vacation here.
Yeah. Well, we were, the wife and I were talking about, our food bill, you know, our money's been going up because I was like, well, it's cause we're not eating out. So it looks like we're spending more, but I don't know if we actually are, you know, we're just kinda hanging out at the house.
Well, your food bill's going down, but the alcohol bill's probably going up.
Oh yeah. Well, there is that. Yeah.
All right. We have an email. And a voicemail. What should we do first, Craig?
Let's see. Roll for the dice. Let's go for the email.
Email is from Fuffy Frog. She says, dang it, you figured out my secret identity. She's
knew it.
One of our patrons under the name of, what was the name? Christina. Christina, that's it.
She figured out her secret identity. Wait a minute. What was her name?
I got to look up her real name. Clark Kent. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Says also in episode 592, I just got a notice on the left hand side of Gmail says something's not right. That's because we're doing Technorama right now.
That's right.
Says in episode 592, you asked, what are your favorite mobile games? I've been playing Arknights. It's a strategic tactical tower type of game, but honestly, I really don't play that many games, even when with the soft lockdown that's happened here in Thailand. She's in Thailand. I still pictured her in Canada somewhere. So stay safe wherever you are. She says, in 595, you wake up, it's 2050. What do you Google first? She says, hey, Google, is One Piece done yet? One Piece is an anime manga.
Oh, yeah.
That's been running for like forever in all caps. The anime had over 900 last time I binge watched it. And honestly, if... I'm going to try this name. Ikiro Oda dies before he finishes. I'm going to quit teaching English in a foreign country and learn necromancy. Good answer. 596, she says. What's going on with my browser here? Whatever. 596 says, what movie did you start watching? Then say, screw it. I'm not finishing this. Well, I wish I actually said that for so many movies, like the first Harry Potter movie, because it ruined the book. Actually, I thought the first one was the closest to the book.
Yeah.
I thought that was like carbon copied right out of the book. I mean, it was pretty close. There were a couple of discrepancies, but, and that part two of Deathly Hallows, because I only watched 1 through 3 and nothing else. And I forgot most of book 7, except that terrible fan fiction at the end. But the most recent one is the horrible Thai movie. I think it's called Train to Hell.
Well,
with a name,
the title
like kind of
says it all.
Why not? And we have a voicemail from none other than JMJ himself, Mr. John Miller Jr. which I think is right here.
Yes. Okay.
This is John Miller Jr. wanting to offer both Chuck and Craig congratulations on Technorama being on for 600. Wow. That is a milestone. So again, thumbs up to you guys. Congratulations. Also, I'm going to leave you a little gift. And gift ready in 3, 2, 1. This is John Miller Jr. giving a shout out to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Hey, we can use that. I will extract that. Probably take that little gap out and we should be good.
There was one day John Miller Jr. posted a picture of himself after he voted with the sticker.
Yes.
And I downloaded the picture and I edited it and I put like an eagle in the background, put an American flag in the picture and really put,
and
you
a,
know what?
And I, a lightsaber. I, make, I voted for I, the Republic.
I was just thinking when I heard that ID, I need to put it together and hear, psh, you know, like put an eagle in there.
Okay. You can edit that one up. You know where the file is. Go have some fun with that. All right. And our question of the week this week, you know what we didn't do? We didn't do this. We've played the letter and the voicemail. We forgot the intro.
It's all right.
602. We'll get it right.
Yay.
You know what?
Every day.
You know the rest of the song.
Yeah, go ahead and stop it.
Sing it to yourself. It's an earworm anyway.
Oh, you want me to sing it to myself?
What?
Letters, letters.
Stop. What one question do you hate being asked? And it says this one doesn't count. Of course.
Yeah, that's right.
So looking down my list, we have Crazy Joe says, you're tall. Do you play basketball? I'm just going to leave that one alone, Joe.
He's not asking. He's not asking you. He's just stating.
Gary Lindro says, can you take a look at my computer?
No.
Yes. I looked at it.
Hey,
that'll be $100, you know, please.
What's funny is he posted the question twice.
Yeah. And the second one got more thumbs up. What's up with that?
Actually, that's usually how it works.
It's how you tell it.
Can you take a look at my computer?
Some people just can't tell a joke.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. Mike Wills says, can you reach that? Gene Mikeley says, I'm a twin, so there's a lot of, can you read each other's thoughts? Yes, and we can read yours.
Right.
Zaha Doom says, you look familiar. Default response, I used to be in porn.
Oh boy.
Good answer.
That's right.
I gotta start doing that when customers say, oh, I love watching your videos.
No, don't say that. Let's do not do that.
I was young. I needed the money.
Yeah. I had student loans. Come on.
Jeremy says, I dislike any superlative question. Any of them could be my answer. Michael Slobodnik also says, can you take a look at my computer? Same as Gary. Deirdre says, what are you doing? Does that question bother you when people say, what are you doing? How about what bothers me? What are you thinking? Or what's on your mind right now?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Yeah. I was going through a recursive algorithm.
Yeah. I was just trying to solve for X.
Ah, Craig, you've been called out because Wayne says this is quite literally the most repeated Reddit question on Ask Reddit.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
I had to respond with an oh, wow on that one. Paul Parkinson says, can I have the raw files? Oh, he must be dealing with photography or audio or something.
Maybe.
People always want that. No, it's too big. Danny Martinson says, when you sell something online as pickup only, what do you think they always ask? Do you deliver?
Do you deliver? Yeah.
Sarah says, mom. Diana Lewis, this is pretty crude. It says, when are you due?
Oh. I make it a point never to ask that question.
What question do you hate? That would be a good one.
Yeah.
My sister Marty says, cold enough for you? You live in Michigan. What do you expect from that answer?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What have you found?
Let's see. Gary actually replied to mine as well. What is your favorite movie? As if you could limit it to one. No kidding. My buddy Fred Smith says, where did you learn? It says, where do you lean? But actually, I think he means, where did you learn how to work on a computer?
In prison.
Yeah. Well, Gary Lindros replied and said, in back alleys.
Close.
My old friend CJ Lamb says, can you take a look at my computer? Well, I sense a theme here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we deal mainly with a lot of computer people on the show.
Yeah. Brian Parker says, as a retailer, after I greet a customer from mere feet away in a shirt with the store's name and logo, and while wearing a lanyard with the store's name and logo, that displays the store's name and logo.
Here it comes.
It says on the name badge, I'm asked, do you work here?
Right. I've worn blue shirts into Best Buy and people just start asking me questions. They don't even ask if I work here.
Well, remember that there was a video, it was the Improv Anywhere, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they did a thing where everybody was wearing just plain blue polos and khaki pants, and they walked into Best Buy and people were confused who they should talk to. They weren't doing anything. They were just walking around. Oh, here you go. Jack Mann had a classic one. You know, the one question you hate being asked, does this smell bad to you?
No, it's fine.
Yeah,
this is terrible. Taste it. You got any more?
Let's see, on the Technorama.
Yes, thing, Mike Robison came in with a few of them. My computer runs Windows version 10 and it's doing blah, 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 blah. What should I do? I barely know Windows XP and I think moving past Windows version 3.1 was a bad decision.
Yeah, right.
He also says, when by somebody playing a game once years ago, what should I do now? They're playing a game and they ask you?
Yeah, what should I do now?
You're limping. Did you hurt something? He also says, right. You know what I think? Oh, that's a good one. When somebody asks you that, you know what I think?
No, I don't care.
I'm not a mind reader.
Yeah.
What else you see in there?
Weber Baker, why did you do that?
Give him an irritating answer back.
I don't know. Yeah.
John Kratzer says, can I bring my computer over for you to fix it?
No,
I can fix it over the phone. Just hold the phone up next to it.
That's right.
Ed Chase says, from my wife, I'm having a computer issue. Can you help? And we got a repeat from Joe. Okay.
All right. There's a lot of computer questions here. Let's move on because I don't want to get fixing.
We're getting anxious at this point. Someone might ask us a computer question.
I wonder if somebody was just asking and didn't realize that was an answer. You know, hey, can you look at my computer?
Let's play the outro at least. We'll give you half credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
And march right into the history.
Yay.
We like the history. This is On This Day in History for May 27, 2020. It is the 148th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 218 days remaining in 2020. It was on this date in 1927 that the Ford Motor Company ceased to manufacture the Ford Model T and began to retool all of its plants for, you got it, the Model A.
They're going backwards in the alphabet.
That was a little crazy, wasn't it?
It was weird. And it was 90 years ago today that the 1,046-foot Chrysler Building in New York City, the tallest man-made structure at the same time, opened to the public.
Also today in 1933, the Walt Disney Company released a cartoon, Three Little Pigs, with its hit song, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf?
That's right. And May 27th, 1937, in California, the Golden Gate Bridge opens to pedestrian traffic, creating a vital link between San Francisco and Marin County, California.
Marin County.
Marin
County. You got to get to California more. It was also on that date in 1958 that the first flight of the McDonnell Douglas F-4 Phantom II. That's Ben flew F-4s in Vietnam. Yeah. So he had a model of those above his desk. Happy birthday, Ben, stepfather-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to American businessman and philanthropist Cornelius Vanderbilt. He was born on this date in 1794, one of the very rich men.
And born May 27th, 1857, German chemist Theodore Curtius.
William Shatner, William Stanier, the English engineer, was born on that same date in 1876.
And English physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate John Croft, Cockcroft, born on this date in 1897.
Careful how you say that last name. David Crosswhite, the American engineer, inventor, and writer, was born 122 years ago today.
122. American actor Vincent Price was born 109 years ago today.
I find this amazing that Vincent Price and Christopher Lee have the same birthday. That's just creepy. See what I did there?
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of telling, interesting. Okay, go ahead.
No, I just did Christopher Lee.
You just did. Also born on this same date in 1967, American actor Eddie McClintock.
Warehouse 13.
Yeah, we met him before, right?
I think we did at one of the Dragon Con things, or waved at him as he went by in a car. I forget. Also turning 51 years old today is American computer scientist and engineer Craig Federighi. We have some listener birthdays this week, too. May 27th through June 2nd, we have May 27th is Tanya from former podcast Dancing with Elephants. 28th is Chris Martins, host of Jesus Geeks, ZNet Central, and producer on The Edge of Darkness. On the 30th, Petri Lopia, and June. We get into June already. Wow. Where are the months going? Selgenor on the 1st and Anthony Gartner on the 2nd.
Hey, there's a lot of people that would argue that all the months in 2020 can go away.
See that link? Over. If you're watching the video, see the link on the bottom of the screen. You can go to chuckchat.com/wiki. Get your name on the birthday calendar. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it is your birthday this week and we didn't give you a shout out, we wish you all the best. Happy birthday. Even though we can't be there in person, not many people can. Make it a special birthday. And get your name on the birthday calendar for next year if you haven't already been there. It's not something you got to renew. If once it's there forever. We've got like JT turning 40 about 15 years ago.
Yeah. Forever 40.
I would have gone with like 25, but okay.
So, yeah.
And I think that's it for the band. Band. Goodbye, band. We got to have like that sound of stumbling instruments as they leave the room.
Yeah.
Okay. Good news, everyone.
Well, it may be good news. It may not. We may be entering a deep solar minimum as the sun goes unusually quiet. But they showed a great big old solar flare, so it kind of contradicts what the headline says. The sun has entered an unusually quiet period with the number of sunspots appearing on the surface unusually low. It's usually this 11-year solar sunspot cycle. This level of activity is so low. How low is it? Scientists have suggested we may be entering a deep solar minimum and potentially even a grand minimum. Ooh, that's got to have like a robe or something to go with it. And a special scepter. At least the last of which took place on the 17th century and coincided with the mini ice age. Oh, goody. Let's bring back the younger Dryas or something.
Yeah, that's the only thing we haven't done yet in 2020.
Potato famines for everyone. You get a potato famine and you get a potato famine. The sun has an 11-year cycle where activity waxes and wanes. This is caused by the strengthening and weakening of its magnetic field, which is a big tied up, tangled up ball of mess, like a cat just got at a ball of yarn. The point when activity is highest is known as solar maximum, which is characterized by more sunspots appearing on the surface. That's also solar acne. The solar minimum is where this activity falls, and far fewer sunspots appear. The last solar minimum, peaked in 2014. So 11-year cycle, we're about 6 years into it. It's right on track. In April last year, scientists at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that's NOAA for you weather people, predicted the forthcoming solar minimum would be similar to the last cycle. In a statement, Lisa Upton, PhD, solar physics, physicist with Space Systems Research Corp said the next solar cycle would be much like the last. Oh, I think she was wrong. With weak maximum and a long deep minimum. Oh, she was right. Okay, so the last one was bad, but this one's worse.
Hey, be careful calling people out.
However, she also said there was no indication we are approaching a solar minimum in line with the last grand minimum known as the Maunder minimum. Oh, well, we get to name these things. So far this year, there have been 104 days where no sunspots have appeared on the sun's surface, according to the spaceweather.com. Across the whole of 2019, there were 281 sunspot-free days. As the website notes, a lack of activity on the sun suggests the solar minimum is taking place. So far this year, the sun has been blank 76% of the time, a rate surpassed only once before in the space age. It said, last year, 2019, the sun was blank 77% of the time. Two consecutive years of record-setting sunspotlessness. Wow, that's a hard word to read.
No kidding.
Adds up to a very deep solar minimum indeed. So, all you people that are keeping track of that, we're at the bottom of the cycle. And it could be a very deep cycle. The Maunder minimum was that period between 1650 and 1715, 65 years, when the solar activity was extremely low. It is sometimes associated with the period of global cooling, where the global temperature was around 1 degree Celsius cooler than it was at the start of the industry. Well, we've already blown that out of the water with warming.
I was going to say, there's your offset for the global warming.
Yeah, for a little while. Wait till the solar maximum comes back. Woohoo! Well, boy, howdy, we'll get them.
Yeah, boy, howdy. Okay.
We got another space story. We need a space segment in this show, I think.
And this one's, we need to probably separate these out. But this is very exciting. This is the first time we're going to be sending humans into space from American soil. So looking forward to this. And SpaceX, their first Crew Dragon spacecraft is going to carry astronauts rolled out to Florida on this launch pad on May 21st. The Crew Dragon capsule atop a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket reached the historic launch pad 39A on the Kennedy Space Center's Cape Canaveral. Yeah, you've been in the Space Center?
Yeah, to NASA. In Florida?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't quite do that, but I did go to Titusville and watch the shuttle take off.
Oh, you gotta go to like the Kennedy Space Center and see the rockets and whatnot. It's amazing how much smaller a Redstone is from a Saturn V.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so this Wednesday, I know we post the show on Wednesday, but so just keep that in mind when you listen to this. This happens on Wednesday at about 4:30 PM. On Eastern Standard Time, the spacecraft and the rocket rolled out at launch pad overnight. Veteran astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley will launch on Demo 2.
Hey, he's appropriately named. They're going to hurley him into space.
That's right. Actually, they're veteran astronauts, so they've done this before. Well,
that's nice. Saves them a ticket to Kazakhstan.
Yeah. This is interesting. I didn't realize this part, but during the flight, Hurley and Behnken will test the Crew Dragon spacecraft, which can fit up to 4 passengers. I thought I said 7 before, but 4 passengers by flying to the space station, controlling the craft manually, docking with the space station, and then at some point within 1 to 4 months after launch, will return home safely.
Nice.
So, yeah, and there's a bunch of pictures in here. You can
historic see, milestone.
There's some beautiful pictures of this thing.
Yeah.
And you can see all the solar panels on the one side.
Why
of
does
the,
it have
the
solar capsule. Panels on the rocket?
To gather electricity.
Don't they have enough fuel to get them there?
I don't know what they're charging, actually. So
maybe that's just a way to cut down on weight for batteries or something. I don't know. I was curious.
Well,
when
they dock to the space station, keep in mind that this thing may take power from the station,
or maybe these are kind of off the station. If it's got more panels, they could do that.
Yeah, it's like you just don't show up there. Hey, can you charge my iPhone?
Hook us up.
Yeah, Here's the USB. Here's the USB cable. Can you hook me up?
There's a show on Netflix right now called History 101, and the first episode was about fast food. And they said, I forgot what year it was, but the Pizza Hut delivered a pizza to the ISS at the cost of over $1 million.
Hey, I'm sorry. This thing is cold. Can you take it back?
What happened to that 30-minute thing that Domino's had?
Yeah.
Didn't get to the space station in 30 minutes.
But there's some good pictures of them actually in the vehicle assembly building, and then some where they're raising it up to the the launch tower, which is really cool.
They're raising things?
Yes, they are.
Couldn't resist.
I know.
Somebody who remembered that episode is laughing somewhere.
Well, raising on the inside, I am.
Or we could play it.
Yeah.
All right, let's play a game of bad news, good news, bad news. Bad news first. Wait, we should have that. We should have that.
Bad news, everyone.
There we go.
Good news, everyone. Bad news, good news.
Bad news, everyone. 2020, literally all of it. Every second, every waking moment of 2020. It's grim, I know. Bushfires, pandemic, murder hornets. When will it end? But now...
Good news, anyone?
Apparently, scientists have discovered a parallel universe just like our own. It's a little different to ours, though. In this mirror universe, in this mirror world, time runs backward. It's like a Benjamin Button universe. That means they're heading back to 2019, the good old days, right? Well...
Bad news, nobody.
I'm here to spoil the parallel universe party. Scientists haven't actually discovered a parallel universe, but you might think they have based on the multiple reports from across the web. What? The internet is wrong?
What? Right.
In the last few days, a number of publications have suggested scientists, quote, found evidence for a parallel universe where time runs backwards. These mind-bending articles posit that an experiment in Antarctica detected particles that break the laws of physics. All the reports pull from the same source of information, a paywalled report by New Scientist on April 8th titled, "We may have spotted a parallel universe going backwards in time." That's the title.
They should have posted the title backwards. That would have been awesome. I was thinking more like time in backwards going universe parallel, a spotted half may we.
We used to read the Cat in the Hat that way.
Read the what?
Hat the in the cat.
Oh.
The Cat in the Hat. No, right. I can't even remember how it goes anymore. But anyway, at the center of the report are findings from the Antarctic Impulsive Transient Antenna. That's a great one. They named it Anita. Isn't that a great name? Hmm. An experiment maintained by researchers at NASA. It involves an array of radio antennas attached to a helium balloon, which flies over the Antarctic ice sheet at 37,000 meters, almost four times as high as a commercial flight. At such a height, the antennas can listen to the cosmos and detect high-energy particles known as neutrinos. No, those are not the diet bars you eat to lose weight. That's what I always thought neutrinos were when I was a kid.
Neutrinos.
Eat neutrinos.
It's a cereal. It's like a breakfast cereal.
It's a breakfast. I thought they were the weight loss bars that you eat.
Yeah.
Which constantly bombard the planet. These particles pose no threat to us and pass right through most solid objects without anyone even noticing. Oh, I've been hit by a neutrino. That's a good one to say. Use that as an excuse next time you need to get out of something. Sorry, I'm being bombarded by neutrinos.
Yeah.
Rarely do they interact with matter, but if they do smash into an atom, they produce a shower of secondary particles we can detect, which allows us to probe where they came from in the universe. Anita detects neutrinos, pinging it from space and colliding with the matter in the Antarctic ice sheet. Well, fairly long article. Long story short, while parallel universes sound exciting and sexy when discussing the Anita signal, alternative ideas are still on the table, Lewis notes. He says that doesn't mean the idea is wrong, but the weight of evidence is currently against it. Oh, darn it.
Well, I think we'd all have goatees and stuff, be like Star Trek. the mirror universe.
Can you go visit that universe and get younger and then just come back here and do it all over again? Is that how it works?
Getting like a little temporal loop.
Or would you come back, if you spent 30 years there and came back here, would it be the year 2050? I'm getting hurdy brain.
The mind boggles.
We haven't used that line in a while.
No, no. It just came to me.
Why? I think that's on our podcast promo somewhere.
And it is. It is somewhere.
If you learned something, it's not our fault. All right. Yeah. We also have a little bit of news about Lee Majors. No.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
One of his body parts.
Yeah, this is about a new bionic eye that it's actually can be better than the real one. So researchers say they've created proof of concept bionic eye that could surpass the sensitivity of a human one. You know, it'll cry and stuff like that when, you know, a normal
but
one
would just it's sit got there. One superhuman feature. What is it?
One super feature.
Didn't you read the article yet?
I did. Well, hold on, you're getting ahead of me.
Okay.
So in the future, we can use this for better vision, or better prosthesis and human robotics. The eye is detailed as a paper published in the prestigious journal Nature today, is in essence a three-dimensional artificial retina that features a highly dense array of extremely light-sensitive nanowires. So the team led by Fan, I sort of say a fan, hey, by a fan. Lined a curved aluminum oxide membrane with tiny sensors made of
perovskite. I don't know. I've never seen that word before. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe we're reading it backwards, like the parallel universe. Anyway, a light-sensitive material that can be used in solar cells. Wires that mimic the brain's visual cortex rely on visual information gathered by these sensors to a computer for processing. And I think there were what you're referring to was like having night vision or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, you could just think you could have like infrared, like the Predator.
The SWAT teams.
Huh?
The armed forces, like SEAL Team 6, that kind of thing.
Yeah, where they put the goggles on and they're
right. But you wouldn't need the goggles.
Yes, right.
You go, Captain, over there.
Like, hey, Star Trek. I didn't sign up for this to have my eyes replaced.
You only need one. Then you just walk around with an eye patch on the other one.
Yeah, at night, just flip the patch down so you can see through the good eye.
Right.
So anyway.
Daytime, you flip it up. Whatever.
Yeah. But this is pretty cool. You can go read a little more detail about it. But I'm still trying to figure out what perovskite is.
Go look it up while we're taking a quick break.
No kidding.
We'll be right back. Let me play the short one. There we go. Back in a few seconds. Hang tight.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. And he has a happy missus at the home, too. Technorama for natural geek enhancement. Only available at chuckchat.com.
Hi, this is Amy Bowen, host of Movie Chat with the Movie Night Crew at ameliabowen.com. You're listening to Technorama 101.
Hey,
Amy said the auto subtitles interpreted that element, whatever it was, the perovskite, as Provo Skype. It was like Proto Skype. It was the Skype before it was released.
Hey, by the way, John Miller Jr. did say he wanted eyes with lasers. He wanted one of those eyes with lasers. He says, one of my neighbors has a rooster that likes to crow all day. I like to make southern fried make him southern fried with the laser eyes.
Just like, what's his name from X-Men?
Yeah, Cyclops.
I'm sorry. Zing some guy's arm off.
John, you can't wear sunglasses in here. Yeah.
Speaking of many of these people, it's time to thank them because they are our patrons, available at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. For as little as a dollar a month, they get special extra content and a shout out on every show. We also have a collection of postcards we send these cool people once a year from some cruise somewhere where we might get back to us cruise. Thank you to Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman. I promise to get through this as quickly as possible for you people who aren't the patrons. But hey, if you want to make the list longer, I'm okay with that too. Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man, Danny Mortensen. Thank you, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry. Starting to sound like the same club that responds to our comments every week. And many of you are, and we appreciate that too. John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Christina Fuffy Frog. Kyle Nishioga, Mad Marv, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, and Kevin. Mike Wills, Night Gig Studios, JTJ. Saturday Morning Media, Grandpa Shoko. Steven Weshi, Steve Therian, and Spiffy.
Now you're dropping all their secret identities, man.
Spiffy has a secret identity that left a comment on the Patreon page. That said, it should be easy enough for us to figure out who this is. You go read that, Craig, and see if you can figure out. I'm not going to give it away yet, because I haven't figured it out yet.
You haven't?
Nope. Not yet. So it has to do with the birthday calendar. But that's all I'm going to do. Go read the comments on the Patreon page. Thank you, everyone. You help keep the show running. Really, really, truly, you do. We are just about done with the whole web host migration thing off of GoDaddy onto Linode. And once we cut that umbilical after 15 years of wonderful service from GoDaddy, just got a little too expensive. We want to use your money wisely and be able to invest in other things that we have, hardware and software. And there's another, I think, Wirecast annual maintenance is coming up. So looking forward to it.
Hey, by the way, my project is over for the most part.
Okay, we're just... Don is going around and clicking every link and making sure every image works. And there were a number of things on Freestyle and Technorama and Topic is Trek. Did we check Podcasting for Dummies? Not yet. We still have some testing to do. But we need to fix the Contact Me form on the Chuck Tomasi page. All of those, same host. So we're getting our money's worth out of this. So thank you very much for all of that. And... you know what? I think we're just going to like fade out the music and move on. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast is where you go to be part of the family. Okay, we have something new for you. Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Shut up and hand me the remote.
No, hand me the remote.
Okay. What do you got this week?
All right. So Kim and I were almost done with the new season, but I wanted to drop this in here of Ozark. Yeah, the newer season. It's been out for
You can't review till you're done.
Oh no. Let me tell you. So have you seen Ozark at all?
Yes.
Okay. What did you think about it?
I'm thinking, do I have it in my list of things that was going to come up on my list? No, I don't. I thought we talked about Ozark before. Did we not? No, I don't think we did. Donna would have remembered. So we watched all three seasons.
Yeah, so if you liked Breaking Bad,
yep,
it has the that kind of tone. You know, there's money laundering,
somewhat, yeah.
Like, murder, there's all kinds of good stuff like that. But the cast, I think, really pulls this together, and they're doing a great job. Like I said, I've only got like another episode left. We need to finish it up, but it has Jason Bateman, who produces, and I think he's actually written and directed some of the episodes, if not most of them. The girl that plays Ruth, if there's anybody that has a talent for cussing, it's her. And putting people in their place. Oh, my gosh.
She doesn't take any crap, but it comes back to her in season three. The younger actors do a wonderful job, too. The actor plays the son and daughter of you know, the mom and dad that are in the thick of this. I'm really curious to know where they're taking this in season four, because it sort of feels like the whole town is going to turn on them soon.
I know. Right. But, I think it's really well written, and it, you know, kind of keeps the tension going. That's why
it's not predictable, which I love.
That's why I equate it to like Breaking Bad, because you know, Breaking Bad had that, especially towards the last part of the whole series. Every episode had you on your seat. What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah.
And that's the tone that this has. And it's really cool. And I like it. So if you're looking for something to watch, I would go recommend Ozark.
It's probably not something you can watch with the younger kids. Okay, we're going to leave it at that.
Absolutely not.
It's an older no. show. It's on Netflix, so mature audiences only. But it is very enjoyable. Donna and I watched that together and loved all three seasons. It just, it was one of those in for a penny, in for a pound. Once you get hooked up with the bad guys, you're not going to get out unless you're dead.
Yeah. Actually, you know what's funny is...
I'm just going to say, keep your eye on the lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
The lawyer lady. Oh, man. She's shifty, and she has an interesting storyline.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else. They introduced Ben, who was... I lost the...
I don't know where you're going, so I can't help
you. Hold on, man. Hold on. They introduced Ben, who is the brother to Wendy Bird. And at first...
Oh, right.
So at first you see him and you're like, whoa, this guy's bad. Then you learn more about him later, about why he was acting like that. But for a while there, I liked him better than some of the rest of the cast. I was like... Actually, why am I liking him more than everybody else?
But yeah, that was, I'm trying to remember the actor's name and where I've seen him before. Looking up
Tom
on
Pelfrey.
IMDb real quick.
What Tom was that? Pelfrey.
Yeah.
And Tom Pelfrey.
How do we know him?
I don't know.
Tom.
Who's he in?
Pelfrey?
Oh, he was in Iron Fist.
Yes. Yes. That's where I knew him from. He was in Iron Fist. That was where I recognized him.
But I actually started liking his character much more. I was like, why? I thought I was going to hate him
and
from the way they introduced him. And then I didn't. And I was like, it's all right.
But it was so sad at the end too.
No, wait.
I'm just going to say there's all kinds of emotions in this show.
Oh yeah. So there you go.
It was heartbreaking. It was just heartbreaking, but you knew that was going to happen, but it was still heartbreaking.
Okay. Yeah. So go check it out. It's a thumbs up for me.
Definitely. Out of 10, what would you give it?
Right now I'm going to say it's a solid 8.5.
I'd go even higher. I'd say 9.5.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I don't have any reason why not to go to 10. So 10, that was one of the better shows that I've seen in a long, long time.
I'm sorry. Did you consult with your wife first before you gave it to him?
Donna, what would you give it? A shoulder shrug.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
All righty. So, good show. Go watch it. Highly recommended. That's our Hand Me the Remote segment. On to the Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
I'm not sure how this ended up in the Media Corner, but okay. The internet has been having a lot of fun with a priest in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, who has been using a squirt gun with holy water to celebrate the Easter season. He's been blessing the flowers and whatnot with a squirt gun from behind a bear can. He's wearing a mask. And it starts out from, this is reported from Fox 2 Detroit. Just on a lark, I said, what if we use a squirt gun, said Father Timothy Pelk. It was a shot memed around the world. Images of Father Tim Pelk went viral as the priest of St. Ambrose Catholic Church in Grosse Pointe Park was seen blessing Easter baskets with a squirt gun loaded with holy water. I began thinking, what could we do that would give the kids in the parish some experience at Easter and something positive that they would remember, he said. They'll remember it all right. The sacred gunplay was on target for practicing social distancing and limiting contact to stem the spread of COVID-19. The moment made news Easter weekend and is finding new life More than a month later, after pictures became part of a Photoshop contest and then Epic Memes. So they started using the image of the blessing and putting it into action movies and posters, like the good, the bad, the Holy Spirit. Donnie, you got to show the pictures. We're missing it.
No, Holy Spirit.
There's a picture of the priest squirting. Oh, he's got a face mask on, too. That's nice.
Hey, I did send this to the priest at my church, and I said, hey, you need to step up your game.
Well, this gets back to my age-old idea of, and now it's even more appropriate, of churches with drive-thrus. You know, you could just go through, get your communion.
I want an order of four communion wafers. And
yeah, and if it was at an ex-bank, they could stick it through the tube. Boom.
Of course, I want the communion extra value meal, please.
Wine would be all spilled by that point.
Can I get fries with that?
And a confession. I'd like
I want two
Hail Marys.
I want the communion extra value meal and a confession, please.
There was one other poster for Doom. That was pretty good. He's shooting at all the monsters with a squirt gun.
Right.
It burns us.
That's funny.
So I'd swear this is an old idea, but it came back. And this guy put it to use, and he got the honor of going viral. So Media Corner, maybe not, but still fun. All right, in the Geek Library.
I want you to read this one because you're the math guy.
I'm the math guy. All right, I do have a math minor. I'm not sure. I think this headline is a little sensationalized because I read this article three times and I could not find what discovery he actually made.
Well, I was trying to figure that as well, but go ahead.
Okay. The title is How an Inmate Serving a Murder Sentence Made a Huge Math Discovery. And he sent a letter, says, to whom it may concern. I'm interested in finding more information on a subscription to the Annals of Mathematics for personal use. I'm currently serving 25 years in the Washington Department of Corrections, and I've decided to use this time for self-betterment. I'm studying calculus and number theory, as numbers have become my passion. Can you please send me any information on your mathematical journal? Thank you. Here is my mailing information, Chris Havens, blah, 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 blah. And then the article goes on. Earlier this year, a first-time academic author published a new mathematical study in the journal Research in Number Theory. The twist? The researcher, Christopher Havens, is also serving a 25-year sentence in the Washington Department of Corrections following a murder conviction. Inmates often send requests to publishers and publications because access to specific books and even entire genres of books are extremely limited in prisons. The guidelines are Byzantine, and prisoner rights organizations hold up restricted access to books as an example of the violation of the First Amendment. It's in this context that chemist and Professor Marta Caruti's partner received a request from Havens for an annual subscription to the Princeton-based journal Annals of Mathematics. And it happens that Caruti's father is a number theorist who is willing to take the chance on Havens, who was trying to teach himself calculus and number theory without any access to a qualified teacher. Quote, to test him, we gave Havens a problem to solve, Caruti recently wrote in the conversation.
2 + 2.
In return, my father received a 120-centimeter long piece of paper in the mail, and on it was a long and complicated formula. To his surprise, the results were correct. Umberto Caruti, who was the professor of mathematics at the University of Torino, Italy, is one of the other authors of Haven's paper, Linear Fractional Transformations and Nonlinear Leaping Convergence of Some Continued Fractions. If that ain't a title to scare you out of a course, sign up for MA 475. What's it called?
Yeah.
Linear Fraction Transformations and Nonlinear Leaping Convergence on Some Continued Fractions.
Oh, hard pass. I'm out.
Yeah, that would have scared me off too.
Yeah.
Number theory is the study of integers and what integers can do. That's just a great sentence. What can integers do?
Yeah. What can they do?
It's part of discrete mathematics, which examines countable numbers like integers rather than continuous topics like calculus. Okay, that made sense. Calculus is all about continuity, integrations, and you get it. Mm-hmm. The beginning steps of learning something like a Riemann sum are pretty discrete. But the goal of this exercise is to eventually approach infinity, which is continuous. Continued fractions are a fun, special case of, for example, irrational numbers like pi that can be represented with complicated fractions that also repeat instead of a series of digits that continue after a decimal point. They're fractions that have more fractions in their denominators. And there's an image of one that's like really crazy. I can't even read it right. It's wild. These get smaller and smaller, eventually converging into approximations of the rational numbers they represent. Quote, there's no such thing as a closest rational approximation to an irrational number, math writer Evelyn Lam explained to Scientific American. By increasing the denominators of our fractions, we can get as close as we want. In their paper, Havens, Carruti, and two other mathematicians study a linear transformation of an infinite continued fraction and draw conclusions from their findings. Then they apply these findings back to, relatively speaking, famous continued fractions. Havens and Carruti went through this prison's intensive transition program. It's designed to effectively aid you into taking your head from your backside. This was my schedule. Eat, math, remove my head from backside, brush, rinse, and repeat. It was an important time in my life. Gonna make a t-shirt that says like that. Eat, math, remove my head from my backside, brush, rinse, and repeat. That's a good t-shirt.
Yeah.
So it wasn't real clear what he discovered, but he's got a publication under his belt and
hey,
60
you got to read the book to get the twist.
Yeah. If that didn't give you a hurty brain, well, we've done our job.
I know. Mine's hurting right now.
Brings us to the end of the show where we have our question of the week. This question this week is, which actor will forever be stuck in a role in your mind? Oh, there's some classics out there.
Neo.
What? Neo.
Well.
What? Has Keanu Reeves, Bill and rather. Ted?
Yeah.
Now, the actor has to be stuck in a role.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Keanu Reeves as Neo.
Really? You don't see him as Bill and Ted first?
Well, sort of.
Or John Wick?
Well, he kind of looks the same.
Well, yeah, he looks the same. It's the same actor. And they didn't do him over with makeup. Tom Cruise is the same way.
For some reason, I see Neo first, but yes, Bill and Ted.
I'm going for the classic Bela Lugosi as Dracula. Okay?
I can't see him as anything. You're right.
Exactly. Yep. That's what we're asking. Okay, follow that formula and you should have your answer. Pick another actor. Right. Okay. Do we have any closing comments in the chat?
They said, shut up and go away. No, Christopher Reeve as Superman. There you go. John Miller Jr. That's a good one.
That's a good one. John Miller Jr. for the late win. All right. That takes us to the end of the show, and John Miller Jr. scoring the final point here on Technorama.
That's right.
If you want to get in touch with us, please contact us. Reach out on the listener line. Do us a call like John did, and it's 707-530-2428. You can put that in your speed dial and call us anytime you like because it's an answering machine, and it mails us the MP3, and we're happy to do that. And have fun reading the transcript. It's double win for us and win Yay. For you. You can also send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Either way, whether you're in the U.S. or not, and you have to dial that +1, whatever it comes down to, we'd love to hear from you. And thank you again to our Patreon patrons. We're going to be recording your show right after this, and you'll get it before this comes out. Until next time, Craig, give them a binary high five.
All right, 101. Thanks, everybody.